Okay, so like I said, we're going to be going through 1 Corinthians chapter 14 today in this really kind of this context, if you will. We're going to be going through today and then wrapping up on Wednesday, getting to the end of 1 Corinthians 14. Really started back in chapter 12. Now, do you remember that this letter as a whole that is written, one dealing with a church that has different problems or issues, those that had been reported to Paul, and he deals with those. The things that he had heard have been reported, and also some questions that the brethren appear to have had that they asked of Paul, and so he deals with some of that. Backing up into chapter 12, going through this section on spiritual gifts. Now, as you look at the layout, if you will, I've heard it put this way, and I think it's accurate. I think it helps me when you think about these chapters in this section right here. But chapter 12 really is dealing with the enumeration of these gifts, right? The different gifts that are there, and I know there are some different things that are there, but chapter 12 enumerates them, has them laid out, right? And the body is made up of Christians, and different gifts are there, and different people have different gifts, and they work together, okay? So chapter 12, kind of the enumeration of those, laying out some of that stuff. Chapter 13, what is discussed? So this was discussed last time. And we know it is a chapter that talks about love, okay? But in regards to spiritual gifts, what's being pointed out? The duration of them. David, is that what you were?
Well, if you don't know what's love, it's pointless.
That's right. You need to have the love there along with it, and it is extreme importance in the use of these, but on top of that and alongside that, what's going to happen to these gifts? They're going to go away, right? There's a duration. That period's going to end, but love is going to be continued on, right? And so love needs to be there. Now we get to chapter 14, and I've heard it put that you see the regulation of some of these gifts, right? So enumeration, duration, and then the regulation. In other words, how are these to be used in some ways, right? Chapter 12 talks about them and how they are to all work together. Chapter 13 talks about the fact that they're eventually going to go away, so love needs to be there. Get over here to chapter 14. Talks about the regulation of that. And really what I want to start off with is understanding or recognizing, if you will, the context that the regulation is being pointed out in, especially as we get going through this and start talking about tongues and prophecy and all these different types of things. There's something that I want us to keep in mind, and that is the context that we're really looking at here when we're going through chapter 14 is dealing with the assembly. Okay? And I have some different things that I pointed out there, and this is just going through verse 25. You get into the rest of the chapter and you see the exact same thing, talking about whenever they are together. Verse 3, pointing out the fact that we are the regulation of these gifts, and in particular as we get going through this prophecy in tongues, it's for the edifying of the church. Verse 5, that the church may receive edification. Verse 12, edification of the church is the goal. Verses 16 and 17, edification is needed for the group, and all need to understand this to be the case. Verse 19, in the church I would rather speak 5 words. This is Paul speaking here, and we'll get to this, of understanding. And verse 23, I think, is the one that brings it kind of all together, that you understand if the whole church comes together in one place. We're talking about the assembly. And I feel it's important, and I want us to understand. I feel like, whenever I say I feel it's important to point this out, because we can get going down a lot of different paths, a lot of different avenues, what's this, what's that, and go start going off into places whenever the understanding of what is being talked about or discussed here in chapter 14 is where. In the assembly, right? Them coming together. And I just kind of want to point that in the beginning so I don't forget to point that out. And I think it's important to start off with that. Okay? Now, with that being the case, understanding the 1 Corinthians dealing with these different things in the regulation within the context of the assembly, let's look at verses 1 through 5, desiring spiritual gifts. Might end up spending a lot of time here just because this sets the stage and then everything else falls into place as a result of verses 1 through 5. He starts off in the first part in verse 1a, if you will, right? Pursue, love, and desire spiritual gifts. Now, he just got done talking about the fact that we are to love. Love is important. Love is of immense significance, right? Jeremiah talked about that and pointed that out last time. is that to say that spiritual gifts and desiring them is wrong in of itself? What's the goal or what is the purpose of spiritual gifts? Say that again, Pastor. It confirms the word, right? And what does the word do? It teaches, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? These spiritual gifts are to benefit the work of the Lord, is the point. So just because one desires a spiritual gift or desires to potentially be used in that way, is that in of itself wrong? No, right? There needs to be desire there because the end goal of that spiritual gift is to do what? End goal is to benefit the work of the Lord. Okay? Especially in this day and time whenever revelation was occurring. Okay? But along with that, love is necessary. Sorry, we pointed that out last time in chapter 13. Just one of the things I want to point out here. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. They're both important. They both come together. They both work together. Okay? Need to have love. Certainly love for my brethren. Love for the Lord. Right? I need to have all these things. I need to have that. And whenever I have that and understand that properly and I desire the spiritual gifts, that's whenever it can be used to the benefit of the Lord. So he starts talking about that, and then he's going to get into what we see here in Corinth. Okay? Verses 1b through 4, especially that you may prophesy, and he goes on. Now, what does it appear from whenever we read through this with the brethren of Corinth, what gift did they appear to value more? Okay, the gift of tongues. All right? Now, I don't want to go down the path of why is that. I think that there can be different reasoning, and we can look at that. But some of that would be speculation because it's not said as to why they did that. Okay? Like I said, we can have look at them, look at the fact that they're from Corinth or some different things like that, and those types of things. But for whatever reason, they desired this gift. They were enamored with it, and it definitely puffed them up in a way in which there shouldn't have been there. Certainly, this gift that they were desiring in such a way, which seemed to be not being used the way that Paul is going, says that it needs to be, right? To the benefit of the Lord. Now, so with that, they're ones that desire, it seems like that they are enamored, they want tongues, okay? But Paul says something here, especially that you may prophesy, okay? So let's look at these two. Tongue speaking, right? What does he say about tongue speaking? What does he lay out here about that? Okay, that there needs to be one who interprets. We'll get into that a little bit more. Let me maybe start off with this, and I probably should have started off kind of asking it this way. And you might have to go somewhere other than these verses 1b through 4, but as we look about this context. What was tongue speaking? It was a language, right? So in other words, it wasn't a what? It wasn't gibberish. It wasn't some unknown language from the standpoint of nobody on earth, right? Just kind of gibberish, an intelligible language, however you want to put it. I don't know how many of y'all have ever been somewhere where maybe you've seen somebody from a charismatic group or whatever that claims to be speaking in tongues. I've been there before. My uncle's a Pentecostal preacher. This was years ago, and I was there, and I was young, and I was like, what is going on here? I looked at my dad, because there was an old man who was claiming to speak in tongues, and literally it was that. It was just rambling. No words, nothing. It was just babble, like a baby would talk. Okay? It's not that. How would you prove that? Because I heard people say it's a language, but how would you prove it? Okay? That's right. Let's go ahead and flip over there because I think it's good. If you don't have chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 somewhere marked in 1 Corinthians 14, I'd probably notate it on the side so you know to go over there. And in particular, starting in verse 4, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there, verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Okay? And so as we look through this context, and we'll continue on through it, but as we look through it, what is Acts chapter 2? Day of what? Pentecost, right? And like James was talking about, what do they have there? Is it just one language that's gathered in Jerusalem on this time? No. And whenever we look at that pointed out, we see that down there in verse 9, right? That there were all these different ones, the Parthians and Medes and Elamites and so on and so forth, right? So all these different languages were there. And so we have the apostles here, right? These men that are speaking. And whenever they are speaking, what is going on? The crowd from all these different backgrounds and all these different known languages are hearing what? Them speak in their language, okay? So, what? And that word language is, I believe it's the Greek word dialectos, is how you say that, right? But it literally means dialect or language. So in other words, whenever those who were speaking in tongues spoke, it wasn't gibberish, it was in a known language. Now, there are some that claim something about this, though. What do they claim? Well, I'll just go and say instead of asking the question. They claim that the miracle, if you will, was on the who? On the hearer. Is that the case? How do we know that?
One, they couldn't work miracles.
Right.
Two, those that work miracles were those that were preaching.
Yep. That's right. The ones that were working miracle, the ones that were doing the miracles, right, or working it, was the ones that were preaching to be able to confirm the message, right? But I want you to pay attention to the language that is used here in Acts chapter 2, okay? And it's really pointed out here. See, I think I wrote it down. No, just look. Acts chapter 2, verse 11. Thank you, Harry. We hear them speaking in our own tongue, okay? So what were they hearing? They were hearing them, the speakers, speak in their own tongue. What was the recognition? That they were speaking it, right? Not that they were saying something and then they were hearing it just in their way. So that's what's being pointed out there. And I believe that there was another one. You have verse 6. Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. So 6 and 11. That's what's being pointed out there. And so I wanted to point this out about tongue speaking before we get into this to understand what it is and make sure that we have a solid foundation of what it is. It's not just gibberish that's being uttered. It is an actual language. Okay? As we're going to see here whenever we get down into verse 22, it was a what? Tongue speaking is for a sign, right? Well, why would it be a sign? Because it's a miracle. Why? Well, because the one that's speaking it, what do they recognize? I mean, these are men, in Acts chapter 2, these are men from where?
Galilee.
From Galilee, right? There's no way they would know my language, but yet they're up here, they're speaking it with clarity. And so that's what's being pointed out here and what we recognize about the gift of tongues. One, it's a known language, okay? One, it's a known language. I'm going to get to some here in a minute, but James has a comment. It's not just gibberish, and the one who was speaking was the one that was confirming something. It wasn't that the hearers heard gibberish and could understand it in that way. What they heard was them speaking their language. James, and then Kurt, I think you might have something as well.
You also have to try to
that's right. The apostles were the ones that were doing the speaking, not all the people there speaking in that way, using tongues. Kurt, did you have something?
Yeah, if the miracle was in the hearers, then the only person that needed to be speaking was Peter.
Yeah.
Because obviously all of the men were speaking because some were hearing languages that they didn't understand. And it said in verse 12, you know, or 13, they're filled with new wine. So we know that the miracle was in the speaking, not the
That's right. The miracle is in the speaking, and so we understand that. I'm not doing a very good job pulling this out, but I'm really wanting to point out two things about tongues, right? One, it's a known language. It's not gibberish, okay? And the other thing about tongues is it's a what? And we kind of hit on this, but it's a sign, right? Get the tongues, this ability to use. It had a specific purpose in mind is what I'm getting at, and that's one of the things I believe Paul is going to be getting at throughout this chapter, chapter 14, right? The use of tongues and ability to speak in tongues, it had a purpose, and its purpose was to what? Okay? So we're going to get into edification here in a minute, okay? We're going to get into edification here in a minute. But down in verse 22, what is pointed out about it? Therefore, tongues are for a sign, okay? Now, I'm going to work through some of this later, but I want to lay this out now as we work down through this. The gift of tongues is for a sign, okay? And so, as we're going to get to, it is a sign for the unbelievers, right? Because one of the things that we're going to see, that Paul is going to point out, is me getting up and using tongues and speaking to a congregation, to a group that doesn't understand that language, is that going to benefit anybody? Uh-uh. The whole purpose is that the unbeliever is benefited. But the only way that the unbeliever is going to be benefited is what? Is if it's his language and he understands something that this individual that's speaking it, what about him? There's no way that they would know this unless he's got it, right? It's a gift from God in that way, and therefore it's a sign that would cause this unbeliever to believe. Okay? So I wanted to lay that out there at the beginning, and that's exactly what we see happening in Acts chapter 2, right? What was the purpose of them speaking in tongues? We have all these people around. How are they going to know that this one that is standing up, that the apostles are standing up and claiming these things, that that is true, what they are saying? Well, they're speaking in a language they wouldn't know. And so that is a sign, that is evidence to what? That this message and what these men are saying is being guided by God. So I wanted to point that out at the beginning here and make sure that we understand that as we go through the rest of this context and the rest of this section, because it's going to help us as we look at edification in its meaning and its purpose, and why prophecy, why not tongue speaking, and all those types of things as we go through. Okay? Yes, sir.
I think one of the things we sometimes overlook too when we talk about tongues is that it's also revelation.
Yep.
Right? So we have to remember that this was a sign, but it wasn't a sign for them to go read the Bible. Because they didn't have the Bible at that time. And so as the word was being revealed, there were multiple nations that were looking at were hearing this, and this is the way that the word was spread. So it was a sign, yes, and it was another language, yes, but it was also substance of revelation. And so the things that Peter was speaking in his own language also needed to be shared with people that didn't know Peter's language.
Right.
We oftentimes lose sight of that, but it was a sign, yes, because those people obviously said, well, hey, he doesn't want to speak my language. But it was also for them to be able, and that's what we're going to get into here in a second, but education, it was revelation.
Yep.
As well.
No, and that's an excellent point, and I'm glad that you bring that out, because that's one of the things that we need to understand about tongue speaking is it wasn't just he was speaking in a tongue and it was just a casual conversation, right? Like I'm all of a sudden speaking a language that I don't know, French, for example, and I'm talking about the soccer game with them, right? Because I have this big soccer match. That's not what's being pointed out here. Whenever you have the gift of tongues and tongue speaking going on, it was an actual language and it was a sign, but the words that were being said, the message that was being said, was revelation, right? It was teaching. It was doing something in that manner or sort. It wasn't just a casual conversation or just mere words. It was edification that leads to them to have an understanding of God's will. Okay? And I appreciate that point. Appreciate that. And we're going to get into that a little bit more as we go throughout this as well, but I'm glad that you brought that up here because that is certainly the case and something that we need to keep in mind. Okay? And also something that we understand whenever we talk with maybe those of charismatic, those who would believe that tongues are still in existence or use. I mean, whenever that's going on, that's meant to be teaching, right? Leading towards, pointing towards an understanding. Okay? Yes, Aaron?
The people that I've talked with that speak in tongues, every time I ask them, time they say, well, they're just saying praises to God. It's basically they're speaking God's praises. And so I just want to bring that out because I've asked several people that. That's what they say every time. That's just another difference in the scriptures as far as what's being done today versus how it was scripturally before it ceased. They weren't saying praises to God. It was like Randy was talking about Revelation.
No. That's exactly right, and I'm glad that both of you guys are pointing this out, because whenever we see those doing it today, it's not just, there's a purpose to the tongue speaking. It was a sign, but what it led to was an understanding. Okay? And so I'm saying that because I'm bringing it back here to this. He says that you especially desire prophecy, and this is as opposed to tongue speaking. And why? Again, keeping it within its context, because what context is he dealing with here? We are in an assembly, right? In that assembly in Corinth, while there might be a traveler that potentially could come in, what is the mindset? Is all those that are within that assembly at Corinth are doing what? Speaking the same language, right? That language is being spoken, meaning it's the same language, and so this one that's speaking in tongues would just confuse everybody, and that's something that he gets into a little bit later, that God's not the author of confusion, or at least bringing that out whenever he's talking about different order and different things that are going on there. But, okay, I'm kind of getting a little bit off topic here, or I'm kind of going down a path, and I want to reel it back in. Prophecy. Why is he saying, hey, you know what, desire spiritual gifts, but especially desire prophecy. Why?
To teach,
right? What does prophecy do? Okay, builds up the church. Speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to all men. So that's what he's pointing out here as he's working through, in verse 4, verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to all men. Now he says something about the one who speaks in tongues in verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, and he who prophesies edifies the church. Okay? So, we've established some things as we have worked down through this. Okay? The purpose of and the reason for the gift of tongues, it had its purpose. It's not that it was meaningless, but if you're just going to go on this goal to try and desire to speak in tongues, it's really useless in the assembly with the brethren at Corinth. Why? Because they don't understand the language that you're speaking. Right? But prophecy, are you speaking a different language? What are you doing? You're speaking the language of those that are there that you know, and you are prophesying. Now, what comes from prophecy? Edification, right? Exhortation. Comfort to all men. But one of the things that I want to point out here that we need to understand is regarding edification. Okay? What is edification? Okay, very good. It's a building up, right? It's a building up, process of building structure or building those kind of ideas, right? So it's the building up, and whenever it's used in these contexts, it's the building up of what? In a spiritual context, the building up of the church, okay? Building up of one's faith, right? Building up in that way. When is one edified? According to this context that we're seeing as we go down through here. Whenever they understand. And that is very important to understand. It's very important to point out, right? Because whenever, and so let's look at that real quick. Verses 2 through 4, and I don't have these on the PowerPoint, point out, the one who understands is the one who is edified or built up. Verses 13 through 17. Regulation of the gift of tongues is given because why? Understanding is necessary for edification. And verses 23 through 25, as we're going to see here in a little bit, by means or because of understanding, there's one who turns to and worships God. Okay? So edification occurs whenever understanding occurs. Right? So in other words, if one just gets up front here and speaks in tongues before the group, but nobody can understand them, does edification occur to the group? No, they can't, because they can't understand it. And I really want to tie that together. Because there is this thought out there that edification alone is because of a feeling that I have. Is that true? Can I have a good feeling but not be built up properly? Edification comes from an understanding that leads to a feeling of being built up. Why? Because it's on the foundation or basis of understanding the truth that has been revealed. Okay? That needs to be pointed out because otherwise, this one right here, speaking in tongues, everyone's like, man, did you feel that? Wasn't that great? That's not what's being pointed out, right? What's being pointed out is the only way that the church is edified, the only way individuals are edified, is whenever there is understanding that is associated with that. If one is speaking in tongues, he cannot understand, then that brings up another point. This one who is speaking in tongues, what does it say about him in verse 4? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So the conclusion that I come to, okay, and I know that there might be some commentaries out there that disagree with this, is that one who spoke in tongues. We know that the speaking of tongues, he was speaking a language that he doesn't know. Did he understand what he was saying? He's edified. So what does that mean? He would have to have understood. He would have to have comprehended what he was saying. Okay? So the one speaking in tongues was edified, but nobody else was. Why? Because nobody else could understand it. Okay? I hope I laid that out in a way that was easy to understand. Okay? Anybody got any questions or thoughts on that? Larry? Yeah, you know, definitely, yeah, especially parts of our country today, right, dominantly Hispanic-speaking areas where you might see that, right, where you might see an individual who would speak in a service in which was in the English language and then one Spanish language or something of that sort in the language in which those who are there would understand. You know, some application that you can make of this just real quickly, whenever somebody is teaching or preaching, understanding comes from what? From God's will, right? And so what do we need to make sure is being had or in various sermons that are there? Teachings, scripture, right? The words of God. And you're coming to an understanding of the will of God. You're not coming to an understanding of some story over here, right? And I've used it before. I've used different ways of illustrating different stories. My hope is that it helps us come to a conclusion of what Scripture says, not that you just laugh about the story that I gave you. Because if that's the only thing you remember from the sermon, you weren't edified. Right? Edification comes from an understanding. Also, singing. Hymns, songs, the spiritual songs. Right? Whenever we do that, those words that we are singing, they are to lead to edification. Is it just because of the melody? Because of the tune? Because of that type of thing? What is it that's there, that's underneath of it as its foundation? The truth in the words that we are speaking, okay? And so we understand that about edification. That's a piece of application that we can take and make here. And I know I got a lot to go through, and it seems like we don't have a little bit of time, but a lot of what I laid out here in verses 1 through 5 makes the rest of it flow and easier to understand. At least that's how I was looking at it and laid it out in my head. Verse 5, who prophesies is greater than who speaks in tongues? In this case, what's being pointed out, why? Because prophesying edifies. Why? Because all understand. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:6-12. Speaking in tongues is useless if not understood. And this goes to some of the points that Randy and Aaron were making earlier in verse 6. If I come, Paul speaking here, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? What is the benefit or the profit? If I'm going to come speaking in tongues, you have to come to an understanding of some of these things, right? You have to understand the truth that is there. Otherwise, is there any profit if that is the case? No. So if the only thing you see is me speaking a language, even though you might understand, well, that's a different language, I don't know, but you know, he's speaking a different language, I'm still not edified in the sense that I should be because I'm not understanding a word that they're saying. It's in the language that I don't know. Tongue speaking was a miracle, as we talked about earlier, but the message was understood and was profited by the message time. Verse 7 through 8, he goes on and points out. Yes, sir.
On that verse 6, mm-hmm. The point is the only way you're going to come to an understanding that you're going to be edified is by the teaching of prophecy, knowledge, a word of revelation. Mm-hmm. If those were just done in that Greek language so that all of them could understand, they would have had it.
Right.
But now if you do it in tongues, now they've got to interpret that into the other
language.
It's a common sense approach. You're wasting your time.
Yeah.
By pointing out a language or doing this in a tongue, a language nobody understood, and then you're interpreting it, which is what you would have done if you just did that in the first place.
That's a really good point. So if you have somebody get there and speak in a tongue, and then an interpreter back into the language that all there would have been speaking anyways, right? If you just would have done that from the very beginning, it's a waste of time. And those types of things. Even things without life, as he points out here in verses 7 through 8, whether flute or harp, he points out that each of them have their own distinct sound, right? And each of them have that distinct sound, and whenever that sound is made, he particularly points out the trumpet. What about the trumpet? Whenever that sounded, what do they know? Okay, right? It's the battle formation. And so, in other words, whenever it's kept within this context, whenever he's laying out these things, whenever words are spoken, whenever things are going on, it needs to be in such a way which can be understood in order to lead to edification. Verses 9 through 11, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand. And so what we see there is words that are spoken must be understood in order to edify. Otherwise, they're useless.
Okay.
Like Terry said, you can have an interpreter, so they're useless because they're not understood, but then you insert an interpreter there, you're wasting your time in that, right? It could have just been said in the language of all there. Verse 12, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for edification of the church that you seek to excel. Okay, and again, I pointed this out a little bit at the beginning, but spiritual gifts are to be desired, but the goal is not to glorify ourselves. Our goal is to glorify God and edify the church with them. And again, as he's working through this, I believe the things that he's really pointing out to these that are here are the fact that you are desiring this gift of tongue speaking, but a lot of it is, for whatever reason, a puffing up of yourself, making yourself look in that way as better than others. Maybe people, especially in this culture of Corinth, of higher learning would think, wow, look at this individual, or whatever the case may be. There's certainly that going on, and what he's pointing out here is the gifts of tongues do have their place. That's just it. They have their place. And just because you can speak another language or because you have that gift of tongue doesn't mean that you need to just be doing it all the time, because it renders itself useless. People can't understand. People are not edified as a result of it, especially in this context of the assembly here in Corinth. I got about 5 to 7 more minutes. Does anybody have anything on this before I move on to 13 through 21? Randy?
Just real quick, I always think about the commitment, you know, the very called Great Commission, going all the world to preach the gospel. If Jesus were to talk to us today and ask us to do that, that would be pretty overwhelming. And we have airplanes and trains and all kinds of interpretation devices that we can use. So when you think about whenever the apostles were told to do that, how overwhelming that must have been. And then you look at the purpose of tongues, like Harry said, it's a common sense approach, right? This was God's answer to how am I going to take this native, you know, the word I'm looking for, you know, don't have technology,
right,
group, and let them go do this commission that I've given them, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's where the helper comes in, and that's where tongues make sense.
That's right. You know, and especially, you know, as revelation was occurring there in that way. You know, tongues assisted in all that as they were going into all the world and doing this. And so, as we said, tongue speaking had its place, but it needs to be used in common sense. You know, it's like we talk about from time to time. is this to the benefit of the work of the Lord or not? And if it's a situation where it wouldn't be, I'm speaking in a tongue, but then an interpreter has to come in and we're wasting everybody's time, or if there is no interpreter and I speak and he's going to, Harry will deal with that in the latter half of chapter 14, right? Say anything. Then we need to understand that, look, if it's not benefiting the work of the Lord, don't use it in that way. Don't use it, and that's one of the things that I believe is being seen here. Verses 13 through 21, desire to speak with understanding, not just to be seen by all men. At least that's kind of the title that I gave this section. Verse 13, therefore let him who speaks in the tongue pray that he may interpret. Purpose is that others may understand. And so again, tongue speaking wasn't just so people would be wowed by the fact that the individual could speak in a tongue, but that there was tied or associated with that the understanding of what was being said, right? So pray for the ability to interpret. Getting to verse 14, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now this one, I'm not going to lie, it tripped me up a little bit, and I'm not going to claim that I have the best way to put it, but this is how I work through it in my mind as far as what I was talking about earlier, right? The individual speaking in tongues. So you have that individual that would be speaking in tongues is edified. The conclusion would be, well, then he has to understand what he is saying, but then you can get here and it'd be like, well, wait a minute, verse 14, but my understanding is unfruitful. Go ahead, Jeremiah. That's right, right? It's not that, hey, I no longer have that I don't have understanding, but my understanding that I have as being the tongue speaker is unfruitful. Unfruitful to who? Well, I understand it. I'm edified and I understand, but unfruitful to everybody else, right? The hearers. Okay? That's right. They do not understand. Why? Because I'm speaking a foreign language and they don't understand it. Okay? So, again, like I said, as I work through it and you look at the languages, the way that it's written, it could, you come to that conclusion, like I did earlier, and then you come to here, okay, is this a contradiction, what is being said here? Well, that one has understanding, but it's unfruitful. Why? Well, because the hearers are hearing in a language in which they don't understand, so they can't have that understanding that he is saying, which is an understanding of God's word that is being revealed or taught in some way. Okay? So, as we work, continue to work through that, so what is the conclusion then? When I pray, sing, etc., it will be and understood by all. Typo, I'm sorry. But it will be understood by all is the point. So, whenever these things are occurring, whether it's tongues or whatever it is, there is an understanding that's associated with it, which leads to the edification. Verses 18 through 19, I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather. Okay, so we pointed this out earlier, at least kind of at the beginning I did. So Paul said, hey, I do speak in tongues, and I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Why would he say that? I believe that was one of the questions. Why do you think he'd point that out? That's right, because he used it for its right purpose, had it in its right element, right place, right these. From the way he's talking, the way he's laying it out, they wouldn't be. So I thank my God that I'm doing that. But what does he say? I'd rather speak 5 words of understanding than 10,000 words in the tongue. And his point being, you know, you can sit up there all day long and speak words in the tongue, but if the hearers don't understand it, it is useless. I'd rather speak just 5 words with understanding. Why? Because those 5 words from God's word are going to be more edifying than 10,000 words of that they can't understand because it's in language of which they don't know. Edification won't occur in that way. Verse 20, do not be children understanding, and malice be babes, understanding be mature. You can break that down a little bit more. I don't have a whole lot of time. I believe the whole point of that is do not be mature in this matter of tongue speaking, understand what I'm saying, but be mature. In verse 21, in the law it is written, and he goes on and he quotes from Isaiah 28. What's going on there in Isaiah 28? What's God going to use? He's going to use another nation, right, that speaks a foreign language to come in and do what? Okay, punish Israel, right? So he's doing that, and he says that they're going to be speaking them. Why was that occurring? Why was another nation coming in that spoke in a different language to punish Israel?
Disobedience.
Okay, because they were disobedient, right? And so this other language came in, and I believe one of the points is the use of foreign language is for the unbeliever, right? Hey, this nation's going to come in. You are not believing. You're not obeying. You're not doing what you should. They're going to come in. I'm tripping up now because I'm trying to think if I'm going to cut it off after this, but I have to. The bottom line is they are going to come in. The use of a foreign language indicates there were unbelievers amongst God's children. The foreign language is a sign to unbelievers. And I believe this is where he picks up in verse 22, right? I hope that makes sense. I stumbled over it. In Isaiah, it's going to be a sign to you that there's unbelief going on because that's why a country or nation's coming in, right? What is the use of tongues for? Supposed to be for in this case? Is it supposed to be those who are believing and being obedient to God? No, it's for unbelievers, right? It's for the unbelievers, and then as it's going to get to as a sign. I'm going to let Harry correct what I just said there in verse 21, especially, and pick up in verse 22. But we are going to pick up in there, and Harry will go through the remainder of the chapter on Wednesday. The chapter 14, hopefully everyone got one. If you need more, they're up here. And that's it. Thank you.